We're reading Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25 and reading through to chapter 11, verse 13. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The man who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Father God, we thank you for your words, and we just pray that you will be with us all and give us open ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us tonight. Amen. So where do you go when you need help? Do you turn to a friend to ask for practical support? Is that help always there? Always just what you need? Or do you find that sometimes you're let down? That friend who said they would help you is suddenly busy? That a bit of advice you were given turned out to make matters worse? Or things just don't go according to plan? Well, this evening we're going to look at where and how we can get the perfect help for all our needs. This passage is rich in instruction as to how we should live and follow Jesus. It contains 3 very familiar stories: the parable of the Good Samaritan, the story of when Jesus visits Mary and Martha, and the teaching Jesus gave the disciples when they asked him to help them to pray. When I first read this passage, I must admit, I was a bit confused. Here were three well-known yet apparently unconnected stories. Surely I wasn't meant to preach on all three. Perhaps I could just choose one and talk about that. I've heard sermons, and I'm sure you have, on each part of this passage in their own right. And surely if I was going to talk about all three, it'll take hours. But as I took time to read and reflect, to pray and listen, I realised that there are threads that weave through these stories. There is a theme that connects them, and that's what we're going to explore this evening. The theme that struck me is that each of these stories show the different ways we can rely on Jesus' help. How his help is always there, always reliable, and always what we need. And as we look at this whole passage, and you'll probably find it helpful to have it in front of you, and we take the stories together, we'll see how they show us what we can learn that from relying on Jesus' help, and how that should shape our lives, and how we should live. We're going to look at what it means to love like Jesus, that when we look at Jesus' standard of love, we know that we need help. We'll look at what it means to listen more than serve, to understand the dangers of thinking that we don't need to listen to Jesus. We don't need his help because we have important things to do. And we'll also look at what it means to seek the Father above all other things. How prayer tests how much we really want what the Father wants for us. Do we want his help? So let's start with the parable of the Good Samaritan, a familiar story which on the surface seems to simply show that we should help those in need of help, regardless of who they are. The passage starts in verse 25 with a lawyer asking Jesus a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? On the face of it appears to be a real question. But as we read on, we realise the lawyer wasn't genuinely wanting to be taught by Jesus, but only justify himself. Interestingly, he asks the same question as the rich ruler in Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And just as in Luke chapter 18, Jesus goes back to scripture. What is written in the law? He asks the lawyer. What does it say in what we know today as the Old Testament? And the lawyer replies in verse 27, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Now that's a huge statement, isn't it? So let's just take a moment to think about what it means to love in this way. Just think about each phrase. To love with all your heart. That is with all your emotions, all your will, your very deepest convictions. That is to love completely and totally. To love with all your soul, the immaterial part of your being. That's almost to love unconsciously. To love with all your strength. That's using all the abilities and powers you have. And finally, to love with all your mind. That is to love with reason, considerately. Taken together, that's a huge challenge to love so completely, totally. It is all encompassing. And having faith in God and delighting in him above all else means that that's the way we should love God, with the total devotion of ourselves. That's a huge challenge. How can we ever live up to it and meet it? Well, put simply, we can't. But don't be disheartened. There's good news, and that is that Jesus knows this, and he's here to help. So he tells the lawyer that he has answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. The focus here is on not just knowing what the Bible says and tells us to do, but actually going and doing it, living it this way. But Jesus knows we'll never be able to attain this, that we'll never be able to live up to that challenge. But that sentiment is wasted on the lawyer. He misses the subtlety of Jesus' comment and goes on to reveal his insincerity with his original question when he asks Jesus, who is my neighbour? The lawyer wants to exclude people. He wants to be able to pick who he loves. If some are neighbours that he must love, therefore there must be other people that he doesn't need to love and he can turn his back on and walk away from. And Jesus responds by telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we're reminded of that familiar story from Sunday school days, a man attacked, beaten, left for dead at the side of the road. A priest passing by on the other side, maybe more concerned about his priestly duties in the temple, didn't think he had time to stop and help this man. The Levites, similarly, who assisted the priests, again, probably too busy or too worried what the priest might say if he turned up late. But the Samaritan stopped to help this stranger. Culturally, it would have been unthinkable for a Samaritan to help a Jew. They were hated foreigners, were openly hostile towards each other. What Jesus is emphasizing here is that Christian love knows no boundaries. To love one's neighbor involves showing care and compassion, even to those whom we wouldn't normally have any relationship with, those we would rather turn our back on. The Samaritan not only helps the injured man at the roadside, but puts him on his donkey because he's too injured to walk, takes him to an inn where he cares for him, and then he gives the innkeeper the equivalent of 2 days' salary, which would have paid for a stay at the inn for around 2 months. What Jesus is saying here is that our help shouldn't just be compassionate. It shouldn't just be care that we give. It's got to be practical support as well. But there's an underlying message here in this story. Yes, we are to help anyone we see in need. Anyone, everyone is our neighbour. But what Jesus is really showing us is that none of us are good enough to gain eternal life. Only Jesus is the true Good Samaritan, who lives the standard of love that leads to eternal life. He is the one who had compassion on his enemies and bound up their wounds. Jesus was the one who has compassion on those whom the Pharisees and religious leaders ignored. Jesus shows us what it is to love completely. So if the challenge is impossible for us, why should we bother? We bother because even though we'll fail and we'll continue to fail, we mustn't stop trying. What Jesus is showing us is what it means to love as he loves. Following Jesus means following his example. Jesus loves us so much that he willingly died on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. We find eternal life in Jesus. So living the eternal life means trying to live like him. And trying to live like him is something we can do. We can try to love like him. Love those we see as unlovable. Help those who need help, regardless of what we might think or feel about them, whether we know them or not. We know what we should do. We read it here in this story, and it makes it really clear. But we shouldn't just read about it. We need to go and do it too. So after telling the parable, Jesus and the disciples go on their way and arrive in the village of Bethany where his friends Mary and Martha live. Martha opens up her home and is busy getting things sorted for her visitors, whilst Mary just sits at Jesus' feet listening to what he said. It's significant where Mary chose to sit, there at Jesus' feet, a disciple's proper place. Martha, perhaps understandably, is a bit grumpy about this and tells Jesus to tell Mary to come and help her. But Jesus says no. There's only one thing that we need to worry about, and Mary has chosen what is better, and that is to sit and learn from Jesus. Her close fellowship with Jesus will not be taken away, not to go and help in the kitchen or for any other reason. So the challenge for us here is to ask ourselves, are we too busy serving to actually take time to listen to Jesus? Are our lives so full of things that we are doing that we don't really have time to have a relationship with Jesus? Just take a moment to think about relationships you have with other people. Which are the ones that are the most successful? The ones that bring you the most joy, even if you go through hard times? I'm sure, like me, they're the ones that you invest the most time in building that relationship, in just being with that person, in talking and listening together. And so it is with Jesus. We need to ask ourselves, what is most valuable and therefore our priority for our efforts? Is it the doing, the running round, the service for Jesus, or our relationship with him? It is, of course, our relationship with him. In knowing Jesus, spending time with him through reading our Bibles, through praying, and simply resting in his presence, we will get to know him better. We will understand better what it means to follow him and therefore be better able to try and live like him, to choose to do the things he wants us to do to serve him and not just be running around busy doing all sorts of things, to seek him more, knowing he is always there to help. There's a danger that we are so busy doing the things we think we should be doing that we forget and don't have time to listen to Jesus, time to hear his will for us in our lives. The challenge for us all is to make more time to be with Jesus, to get to know him better, to be more like Mary and sit, listening and learning at Jesus' feet, and less like Martha, running round being busy doing what we think Jesus wants us to do. Finally, we come to look at the importance of prayer in relying on Jesus' help. And the question for us here is how should we seek the Father above all else. I love the image that the start of chapter 11 paints. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." You can almost see Jesus sitting apart from the disciples whilst he prayed, and the disciples maybe whispering amongst themselves, "What is he doing? Must be important. He does it a lot. How can we do it?" So when he finished, they seized a moment and asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And what Jesus teaches them is what we know as the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that binds the disciples and us together as a community. Now, I'm not going to focus on the prayer itself this evening, but on the illustration at the end of the passage, reminding us as to why we should pray and challenges us to think about what it is we are asking for in our prayers. Is it really what our Father wants for us? Verses 5 to 8 tell the story of calling on a friend late at night to help when they have an unexpected visitor. Having nothing to give a guest was unthinkable in Jesus' time. You would have been more than ashamed to not be able to feed a visitor, no matter when they arrived or how unexpected they were. So even if it was late, you would have to do something. You'd go to a neighbour to ask for their help. What sort of friend would simply refuse? It looks like at first that the friend won't do anything. He's already tucked up in bed. This unwillingness to help is in great contrast to God's great desire to help us, his children. But Jesus goes on. The friend does indeed help. He does get out of bed. But he doesn't get up to help because he's a friend, but it's because of the man's boldness, his audacity in asking for his assistance. It's that moment of, I can't believe you've just asked me that, but because you have, and I'm going to get up to give you what you need because it must be important. Jesus reminds us not only to be bold in what we ask for, but we need to be persistent. Verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Prayer should be a continual and persistent part of our lives, and we should be bold in what we ask for. Is that really exciting or really scary? We've been told to ask, to seek, and knock. And if we do, we will receive, we will find, and the door will be opened. It looks like the promised result is that what we ask for will be given. So should that mean I should be praying for a Ferrari, to win the lottery, I promise to give a chunk to the Centre Forward project, a bigger house, a fabulous holiday, because God will give that to me? Well, I'm afraid not. Everyone who asks receives does not mean that we will always receive what we ask for, because God is wiser than we are and has better plans for us. Jesus illustrates this at the end of the passage. If a child asks for a fish, would you give a snake, an egg, a scorpion? Think about it. Even if we who are sinners and not perfect know what is right to give to a child and how we can give good gifts, how much more will our perfect Father give us? God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need. Our challenge is to understand what our Father wants for us and to pray for that, to know that and seek him in all things above all else. So the question for us here is, how is our prayer life? Do we spend time in prayer? And if we do, what are we praying for? How do we know the right things to pray for? For me, this is where looking at these three stories together is so very helpful. Like Mary, we need to take time to be with Jesus, time listening to him, time to build our relationship with him. And in doing that, we will understand him better. We'll want to change our lives to live more like he would want us to, loving and helping those we see in need. And knowing him better, we will understand his will for us and know better what to pray for. And therefore, we can be bold and persistent in what we ask. So how do we do this? Well, we need to spend time building our relationship with Jesus, time reading our Bibles, quiet times where we just sit in God's presence and listen. There are lots of tools and techniques to help us do this. Think about going on a led retreat if you've not been on one before, even if it's just for a day. Or go on a St. Pat's weekend retreat, time away from the hustle and bustle of the world, just to be with Jesus and take time to pray. If you're the sort of person who has lots of questions or like to have no more through a discussion, think about doing Christianity Explored or joining a home group. As we reflect on these three stories, I love the thread that weaves through them, that is that we should rely on Jesus for help. Help to live better lives, lives more like him. Help to have the courage to see a need and bring comfort. Help through our relationship with him and through our prayers, prayers that should be bold, persistent and constant throughout our lives. There are some huge challenges in this passage and ones that may feel a bit impossible, but ones that actually, when we take time to stop and reflect, know that we are not alone because Jesus is there with us, helping us always. And with his help, we can love more like he loves, take time to listen to his will for us in our lives, and be bold in our prayers, asking for what the Father wants for us. And then relying on that help, change the way we live to be that different person in the world today. Let us pray. Lord, help us turn to you in all things, knowing that you are always there, always able to help in the right way. Help us make time in our busy lives to simply rest in your presence to better understand your will for us and to have the courage to respond to your call, whatever that may be or wherever that may take us. Help us to step out and help where we see a need, no matter what it may cost us, to see everyone as our neighbour, to love as you love and live as you live, to be a different person in the world, following you and your ways. Amen.